something humorous to say about this song. What is it? South African national anthem or something? Oh, it is? Oh, okay. Who's singing it? Trying to do the harmonies. So good. Does it send chills up your spine, Tim? But you're so hairy, you can't tell when your hair stands up. Okay. You are listening to The Drew Marshall Show. Thanks for tuning in. We're streaming live at drewmarshall.ca. We're on the MyJoy Radio app and iTunes or Google Play and across the GTA on AM 1250 Joy Radio. We are going to jump into a thing called the Journey segment, and that's basically where we talk about people's lives, you know, kind of, well, hope in the midst of mess is really the angle in all this. So first of all, Gary, thank you for coming into the studio on such short notice. Thank you for driving all the way from your home in this neck of the woods. Gary, the first thing I got to ask you is the pronunciation of your last name again?
We say it as Stain.
Stain.
But I have heard...
Yep, I just want to know the right way to say it. Because I can imagine, and by the way, I don't know your wife's name. I forgot your name
Angie.
Again. Angie, that's right. Angie, you're not one of those people. You're not South African.
Yes, I am.
You are?
Oh, yes, I am.
But I thought there was a, like... Wait, how did you guys... Why is my voice so high right now? Why did you guys... why did you guys come to Canada, Angie?
It's amazing. Canada's an amazing place.
It's really, that's why you came to Canada?
That's why
I thought
we
you
came
meant
to
the
Canada
story was amazing.
Because it's an amazing place.
There is a good story behind it as well. A friend of mine got... my best friend, actually. I came here about 14 years ago to Oakville. One of his best men, and he married a Canadian.
Right.
Came back to South Africa, and then he ended up coming back here to live. So it was always my intention to follow him, and
And here you are.
Here we are.
There's a lot of South Africans in Oakville.
Yeah.
Tim, you don't have a mic, so no one cares what you're saying.
If you have Chinatown in Toronto, it's South Africa town in Oakville.
In Oakville?
It is.
It's
really?
True, yeah.
It is. They are a lot of us.
Well, Gary was born Facebook Live, you tool. We are on Facebook Live, and Tim was just being a jerk. What was I saying? Oh, Gary was born in Durban, South Africa, 1977, during the height of apartheid. Man, what a gong show that must have been. So, look, the first thing that jumps out in this story is born to a prostitute, right? I mean, come on. You know, James Brown told me about the story of him growing up in a brothel, right? And you can't help but grow up in that environment and have some residual effect. So even though your life has gotten better, I'm not saying it's perfect or a cakewalk. I'm going to look at your wife. And he's still a bit of a jerk, right, sometimes?
No, he's pretty perfect, really.
Oh, stop it.
Truth.
Mini barf cue. What's the leftover residual thing right now that I would never, you know, I'd meet you at the pub, we'd have a chat, we'd a couple of mates, good conversation, but what's churning inside of you that is the leftover of being born of a prostitute?
I think the tough thing for me, it's kind of probably something I always have to take with me forever, is the impact of never meeting your own father. You know, I've tried to find him, I've done different things. For me, of all the things, that's the blow, the biggest blow. Mm-hmm. The fact that my mom was a prostitute, the fact that, you know, the upbringing was so rough, you can kind of live with all that. Mm-hmm. It's the luck of the draw. But the one circle, you can't, you know, the guys say about closing a circle or closing the loop. I can never close that story. I can never close the loop because there's a big chunk missing. So for me, that's always the low point for me. I can handle everything else, but that niggles me. And every couple of months or years, I go around the thing of, hey, I need to find this guy. I need to try and close this loop. So I guess for me, that's the big thing. You know, everything else I've been able to kind of, through God's grace, overcome. And
but Gary, in your journey, you know, you talk about quote unquote dad being murdered.
Yep.
Who is that?
So I think my mom had many men before I came along, when I came along, and after, you know, once I was there. But one of them, she kind of stayed. That's how I got the surname Stain. My father was a Greek sailor, so in the apartheid era, ships would just coming in South Africa, bring in oil supplies, whatever, because there were embargoes on South Africa from the rest of the world. So trade was limited, and Greeks, Portuguese, all these different countries, we bring in via ship stuff that we needed. Along with that, men who had been at sea for months and were coming in. Some of them would take the woman back with them. Some of them would stay behind, and some of them would leave and never come back. So I fell into that leave and never come back category. So my father was a Greek sailor, Costas Papadopoulos.
I'm sorry?
Costas Papadopoulos.
Bless you.
Thank you. Exactly. So I kind of I got a better deal in the one hand. I got the, you know. So my mom's longtime boyfriend, who became her kind of common law husband, was Stain, and I was kind of just registered as his son, never legally adopted.
And this is the man who was murdered.
So he was murdered. We lived with him for 10 years as we grew up. He was a great dad to me. But then when I was about 10, 11 years old, he was murdered in Pickering Street, where we were staying in Durban. He was 19, 20 when I came around. Right. So he was young.
Right.
They loved drinking, they loved partying, they loved living the life they were in. And they stayed in the same area that we'd stayed in, amongst pimps, prostitutes, alcohol, drugs, which was their common lifestyle, and that was their friends anyway. So, but he was murdered when I was about 10, and then things got more serious, as, you know, they weren't serious already.
They like, seriously, more serious. You, why did you marry a walking country music song? Like, what was it about him that you went, yeah, I'm signing off on this guy? Yeah.
Good question.
Jeez. Okay, well, we're going to get to you in a second, Andrew, but we've got to get through this nonsense, first of all. So your mom turns into an angry alcohol abuser after your dad, you know, quote-unquote dad, was murdered. And, look, she didn't have the best start anyway, right?
Youngest of 10 kids, 2 boys, 8 girls, and sexually abused, went away from home at 15, and got into a life of promiscuity and drugs.
Yeah.
So I feel sorry for her. I don't think she had the best start either. But she had no chance, really. I mean, so her story is wilder than mine, obviously.
Okay, but I want to talk about how, you know, the phrase hurting people hurt people, and how in the Jesus scene that's supposed to help us go, oh, I forgive you because, you know, you grew up with bad stuff, and even though you just ripped my soul out or you've done something horrible to me, I forgive you because you had bad stuff. I want to talk about that in a little bit. You know, when I look for journey stories, I said this to you on the phone, Gary, I don't want the stories where I used to be an axe murderer and then I found Jesus and now I don't kill people with axes. The end. What attracts me to human beings is the mess. And by the way, he told me that you're pretty squeaky clean. Like, you're just, you know, the goody two-shoe of the whole thing. Really? She's looking for a knuckle bump there?
Yeah, what she's the? Like, yeah.
So, I'm not sure I like you, Andy. What I'm saying. Your brother killed in a car accident. This was one of the children your mother had as a result of being a prostitute, I guess is maybe the caveat to all that. But you had many brothers and sisters. Why were you the tightest with this one?
So up until the age of 30, my mom had 5 kids. She gave all of them away. 2 of them went to her family to raise as their own. And the last 2 were kept, my brother and I. So my brother and I actually grew up together in the same room, shared the same bed. We had, and we were very close. So when I left home at 16, 17, left school at 15, left the home at 16, he was living with me in a flat when he was 18, and we lived together for about a year, and we were the only family we had, so we stuck together. We had different fathers as well. So I kind of tried to look out for him as best I could as being the older brother, but and he got saved first. He's a radical Christian because I knew him my whole life.
Okay, now you just used a phrase that a lot of our listeners don't understand.
Okay.
So I've trained my listeners for the last 16 years to lose the Jesus knees. The Jesus knees, the Christian knees, what are we?
Christian knees.
Jesus knees.
Yeah, we say Christian knees to pray to Jesus.
So got saved.
Got saved. He got saved. The reason I use that word is because growing up in that environment, I never knew, I never believed in a God. I never thought God existed at all. So it wasn't, and neither did my brother. And so for me to see, living with him, and to see a new person before my own eyes, my honest reaction was that there were aliens and that he had honestly been abducted. when he had come back.
Because he was just like goofy, smiley, happy all the time?
Yeah. He was, everything about him changed. Though. Exactly. So I look at him and I was like, I can't actually believe it. There's aliens. Like, they took him and they brought him back. He looks the same, but he's not the same guy. I know that guy. This is someone else. It was like really surreal, weird. So, and it was that, you know, I use the word radical because it wasn't like progressive. It was one day he was this person, the next day he was another person. And I saw that. So for me, it was like, this is weird.
So is that one of the reasons you bought into the Christian stuff? Because of this alien change that you saw?
Well, that was part of it. So I was doing cocaine on my coffee table. And
as one does.
As one does. And trying to get out of my house by 7 p.m. because he was inviting in this youth group.
I would totally want to get out of my house.
Exactly.
Then,
so I was like, I need to get out of here.
Just stay,
I didn't want to say hello to them or meet them. Because it's like they're all so happy and hello. And you're just thinking like, you guys can just all go down there.
Yeah.
So they would all get together and they would go into my bedroom and they would pray that I would get saved. I'd only found this out later. I was coming home drunk and drugged and out of the blue, getting on my knees and saying, okay, you know what, if there is a God out there, you got to get me out of this lifestyle.
Because you were feeling the heat of the darkness?
It was real. Yeah, yeah. I was like, and there was no way out. The people I was involved in were like, the only way you get out of our circle
death.
Is when you die.
Yeah.
So I didn't see it as like there was options. It was like you're either going to die and you're out or something crazy has to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
So that started a journey.
But, dude, you buy into the faith stuff, right? You go, you know what? I'm in. I don't know what your words were. You know, dear baby Jesus, save me or something. But you buy into it, and then your brother dies.
So I get saved. Okay, I go to the Alpha course. I get saved.
Oh, you had Nikki Gumbel on your tail, did you? Did you go to the Holy Spirit weekend?
I went to the Holy Spirit weekend. And
that was my Letterman laugh.
Yeah. So I get saved. I'm engaged to a woman to be married.
Yeah.
I'm excited about becoming a Christian. Life is going to go so well now.
Where's your fiance with the Jesus stuff?
She's kind of grown up with some sort of traditional Christianity.
Okay.
But is very loose and free with everything that life brings. So that's a whole different story.
Okay.
Anyway, I'm not like that. I'm Mr. Radical, converted, day one, everything's changing. So anyway, my perception is Barbie and Ken Christianity, because now I'm a Christian.
I'm sorry, did you say Barbie and Ken Christianity?
Yes, yes. That was my perception. You become a Christian, and like some sort of rolled soft velvet carpet rolls out.
Have you ever seen me on Huntley Street, by the way? Because that's one of the quotes. Never mind.
Oh, really?
Well, I just said, I'm sorry, I'm totally hijacking this and making it about me.
You're
but
sure.
You can't drop that on me and not and anyway, I've got this major reference. When I told him, I said, I'm not into cheesy Christian television because you guys always just, it's like good-looking people all the time. You guys, and I said to the host, you guys are like the Ken and Barbie of Christian television. It's so funny you said that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that was my perception.
People?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's no room for anyone else. So, anyway, it was a tragedy of the highest proportion when, to my newly senses, that we would get married. I'd marry this girl, and she would leave me in the first year of Christianity, largely because I became a Christian. And secondly, that my brother would die in a car accident. And he died just before I got married. So in my first year of Christianity, I was like, okay, I might have got this thing wrong. I might have read some other book. Or
let me do another victory lap on this and see if I can study this properly.
I don't think this is supposed to happen this way.
Oh, man.
So I was a new Christian, divorced at like 23, and the only family I had just been, just died. So I kind of thought if anyone wants to go and persuade someone to become a Christian, they're doing them quite a big disservice.
Yeah.
Because in all likelihood, things are going to go seriously sideways, in my experience.
See, this is where we jive. Okay, white guys shouldn't say jive. This is where you and I connect, is because that was my story. I bought into the Jesus scene, and my life tanked. But it didn't tank like you win with the tanking. Okay.
Yeah.
But mine tanked because I just wanted to play the game of when I was with the Jesus people, I would be one way, and then I would just be a total putz the other way. So many other words came to my brain. Okay, so you realize that it wasn't the roll out the red carpet and you're going to become the Ken and Barbie of Christianity kind of stuff, right? Which, by the way, is a huge thing overseas with the prosperity folks, right? That's how they sell Jesus over there, is, hey, you buy into this and you get nice clothes and you get things because you're the child of God and he wants you to have stuff and look at the way we're dressed and how well the things we have and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. So that's not my experience. I've been Christian now for probably 17, 18 years, and that has not been my experience at all. It's probably the toughest road you can go on.
Okay, hold on. We're going to push pause, and we're going to jump over to Angie for a second, because Angie, I know that you like to just do the whole, oh, I'm quiet in the background. I'm all, you know.
Quite loud, actually.
Are you?
Yeah.
I'm not sure whether
she says in a quiet voice.
No, I should ask your kids in the other room.
Yeah.
What's the why? Did you not know about all this stuff with his background and baggage and screwed upness? Did he trick you into marrying him?
Yeah, I think he tricked me.
There was a large sum of money offered, but I think forgot where I've hidden it, so she could never get it. I know I hid it somewhere.
Yeah, he tricked me.
So what happened?
So, I met Gary at a prayer meeting with this best friend of his sister, who happens to live here in Oakville. And everyone said to me, oh, are you dating anybody? And I said, no, I'm not dating anyone. They said, oh, don't worry, you'll find somebody here.
In Oakville?
No, this is when we were in South Africa.
I'm sorry, I gapped for a second.
He drove past in his car, and I honestly had seen him before. God had shown me him in a dream.
No.
I'm telling you, just one of those crazy experiences. I looked at him and I was like, I've seen that guy before, but I hadn't really met him before. So we went into the prayer meeting, and straight afterwards he came up to me and he didn't even greet me or anything like that. He didn't say, hi, my name's Gary. He just said, are you married? So I said, no, I'm not married. So he said, well, would you like to be? I'm not joking.
This is a true story. This is the kind of stuff that guys at nightclubs with their shirts open, hairy chest hairs hanging out, and gold chains say.
Not exactly. At a prayer meeting, right?
Well, maybe. That's funny. What did you think of that, though?
I was very impressed.
You were not.
Yeah, I was really impressed.
That worked?
Jersey,
yeah.
She's easily impressed.
Yeah. See, the thing is, you know, he fit something in my mind of what I find very attractive, and his confidence just kind of sold me down the river. I was like, okay, yes, let's do a coffee. And in fact, he suggested that. He said, we'll do a coffee. And then we dated for a little while. We dated for about 3 months. It was horrible. It was so boring. We both had so many issues. We really did.
What do you mean it was boring?
We just were so serious. There was no fun. Yeah, we were really intense. We dated for 3 months and broke it off.
Yeah, you both do have a little intensity, don't you?
I'm all fun, really, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Have you ever done an armpit fart?
No, but I can learn.
Oh, these guys are good. All right, I want to know, was there a good proposal?
Yeah, it was very honorable.
Honorable?
Yeah. No, it was good. It was under the fireworks of the whole of overlooking the city of Durban on the turn of New Year. As it turned midnight, fireworks up in the sky.
There, man.
Yeah,
serious props for that one. Well
good.
Done.
It was good.
Well done. Way better than like at McDonald's.
Yeah, way better.
We're kind of joking around, and that makes me wonder. I kind of want to get back to the darkness. And the serious stuff about your story, as if we haven't talked enough about that, is the abuse. And for some reason, as a guy, like, I look at the list and I go, emotional abuse, okay. Verbal abuse, okay. Physical abuse, okay. But as a guy, sexual abuse, right? I don't know. There's a guy thing, I think. And I know it's not right and politically correct or whatever. But as that, I go, dude, that's not cool.
Unfortunately, so far in my experience, I realize that it's one of the most common abuses that people have that they never speak about, particularly Christians. coming from South Africa, most men I know from the church thing have been sexually abused. They've never spoken about
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Wait, you weren't abused by a priest, were you?
No. Not that it makes it any different.
No, I was almost going to go, oh, thank God it wasn't a priest that abused you, whatever.
Yeah, it's terrible that happens. I mean, but one of the things I found with Christians, they don't like to talk about it. They struggle to speak about it. They struggle to tell anybody that it even happened.
Yeah.
Even their own family.
Yeah.
I was fortunate. I got to actually speak to my sexual abuser on the phone.
What?
Yeah. So...
Wait, I mean, afterwards, and then you went...
So years had passed. I'd become a Christian, and now I was confronting all these different issues in my life, which obviously took years, one of them being the sexual abuse, and spoke to my mom about it and said, listen, this is what happened to both my brother and I, and it was one of your friends.
And what did she say?
She was like, no, that never happened. So she denied it.
Yeah.
So I said, I'm not asking you whether or not it happened. I'm letting you know this is part of my process.
Yeah, yeah.
So she went and phoned that person and obviously lost it on the phone or did something. And that person thought I was going to lay a charge and it was going to be a criminal. So then phoned me and said, whoa, you know, like, and I just said, look, I'm not asking you whether or not it happened. Mm-hmm. I know it happened. I was there. I want you to know that I forgive you and that you got bigger problems than me. So I'm not going to lay a charge, but you've got an opportunity now to come clean before God. Because if you don't, you're going to have to come clean at some point.
Yeah.
And if it's not now, it's going to be later.
Yeah.
And either way, it's going to happen. So this is your opportunity. I forgive you, but this is your opportunity to make right with him.
What do you say?
So I think his whole thing was like, how bad is this going to get? Are you going to lay charges? Is it going to go? And when he kind of found out, I'm done with that.
Yeah.
Then I think that was just the relief for him. So I don't know whatever happened from then on out, but... It was huge for me.
But it was bigger for you to let him off the hook, because what we don't realize in all this kind of stuff is the only one that's on the hook by you not letting them off the hook is you. Yeah. That's what I've heard.
Yeah.
Well, for some reason, I'm really big on forgiveness. Like, it's a big thing for me. And so.
But that's people who have been wronged greatly forgive greatly. Wait a second. I think that might be scriptural.
Yeah. Could be the only one for the day. Just get it now. Yeah. He's done the one for the day. He's good.
That's it. I'm out.
I'm good for today.
Can I just... Okay, so the other part of your story is, and you know, obviously, there's some jokey jokes here that... By the way, you know your kids can hear the show, right?
They're smiling.
I just realized I went, not sure where to go now. Do they know about the...
They've been with us on all of our trips and journeys, and we include them in everything.
They know about the dancing?
Oh, yeah.
They do. They kind of want me to teach them, but I gave up.
But not that to that extent.
No.
They got moves of their own now.
So yeah, baby.
They've kind of taken over. They're much better than I was.
I want to go through the list of drugs here, because I've never seen a list like this. Well, because there's a couple things in here I don't know. What's Mandrax?
Mandrax, the street term is buttons. It's a pill. You crush it up and you put it onto marijuana and you smoke it in a bottle. Not a very pleasant drug, but it was common. It was one of the fads that came through. It was common in the 80s and 90s for a while.
One of the fads that came through, not the feds.
Yeah.
When the feds come through, that's a different thing, okay? I know the South African thing is. I just want to clear that. Yeah. Dagger?
Sorry, that's marijuana. That's the street term for marijuana. Yeah.
Because in Australia, a dag is the crusty sheep poo that hangs off the bottom of a sheep's bum.
Not as.
Are you smoking that?
No. Well, it depends on how bad things get. I mean,
yeah, that's true.
Yeah, for them, it's hot out there, and if it gets that bad, you know.
What was the hardest substance to knock, to get rid of, to quit?
It was crack. Crack cocaine is when they take cocaine, they boil it up, and then they smoke it. Everything else we did was semi-recreational in that you feel like you have some sort of discipline or control. Mm-hmm. But with crack, it's straight to the prison or death. Not many people get to get out of that one. And
it makes total sense that you've become a Christian. And it makes a lot of sense that you've become a Christian for this one main reason. And I wrote this in your bio here. I said, you had this craving for a father's love and acceptance, and finally you looked upwards for that. Do you like what I wrote there? That's pretty good, huh?
That's good.
That tug in your heartstrings. but it does make sense, and it's so interesting. All this junk that you've processed, and the thing that's at the top is the missing dad stuff. And if there is a creator, and the creator relates to us in some father-type way, which is the Christian Gospels are really the ones that kind of pull that whole father stuff apart, it makes total sense that you be looking upwards for daddy's love. And I'm really, I don't want to get mushy here, but I'm really stinking happy for you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I don't know where I was going with that thought. But I think it just took me by surprise that I felt like that. Ugh.
You'll get over it.
The vision of him dancing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's
get
right.
Over it.
Okay.
Yeah. You get over it.
Okay,
yeah.
I'm shaking.
I'm okay. One of the major things for me, so became a Christian. I was operating largely as a survivor because I'd grown up my whole life without a father and I'd just done everything I could to survive. So I was a survivor. And here I was, a Christian and a survivor at the same time, which is a real problem because the essence of God is that he is a father. So the big turning point for me in my life, bigger than becoming a Christian, was actually going from being a survivor to becoming a son. That changed everything for me.
Wow. Nice.
As a Christian.
Yeah, because you're taking the victim card out there as well, right? And you slip into an identity that drops your shoulders back a little bit.
The decisions you make as a survivor are totally different to the decisions you make as a son. And the
ooh, this is good stuff. Is this the stuff you wrote in this book? In that book? Didn't you have a book that came out?
That,
right?
Yeah, there's a book called Pickering, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Yeah, I did write something of the difference between a survivor and a son, and where that leads you and how that.
Buddy, this is a great. Do you deliver this message? Will you speak places and do the whole difference between survivor and son stuff? Because that's gold. I've not heard a single person talk about this. I'm sure someone has, but I haven't heard it.
Yeah, no, we do. And for me, it was a real revelation. I was actually in Oakville. I was here standing by the lake praying. I'd brought to my friend's wedding. I'd brought another girl, Christian girl, that I was engaged to.
I can't keep track. And,
it wasn't me.
Yeah. It wasn't this me. Amazing girl. It was another girl. Yeah. So anyway, I came in. I was praying and I was saying, I can't do this. Like, finding a wife as a Christian is too big. And I'm useless at it and I'm botching it up. I physically can't do this. Like, it's too big for me. And I remember in that prayer moment at the lake, God was like, okay, you want to chat about this? And he was like, do you know what the problem is? You are a survivor. You're not a son. And I straight away, my back was up and I was like, do you know what I've given up? Do you know how radical I am? Do you know what I've sacrificed in this commitment, in this relationship kind of thing? And I was kind of going to start getting in this
debate
with him about he's wrong, which he was open to. And he was like, okay, let me show you what a survivor does. And then he goes, let's look at your finances, survivor. You keep getting in debt. You keep doing this. You keep doing that. You're a survivor. Let's look at your relationships. Let's look at this. And eventually I was getting I don't want to talk about this anymore. You know, when you go like, okay,
yeah.
I'm done. I don't want to talk about this anymore.
I
want to tap out. And it was so clear. And he was like, do you know, this was the final blow, the uppercut. He was like, do you know that you have never asked me once who you should marry? Not once. How do you argue with that? I was like, the most important person in the whole universe, who's got all the wisdom, and not once do I think it's a good idea to maybe ask him, hey, what do you think? Man, I was finished. I was done. So from then on out, I changed my whole relationship with him and the way that I started. You know, I started my Christian walk again. After I pushed the redial button, let's just do this again.
Good for you, man.
And that made a world of difference to me.
Now I get it. Like, well, yeah, because you hear a story and you go, "Why? I already said it. Why would you say yes to this guy?"
Yeah. He sounds up for that.
No, he's not. You know, Gary's taught me so much about life and about being, you know, communicating well with people, forgiving people. Yeah.
Beautiful. Well, that's a wrap. Boy, I could talk away more time. Wow. Away more time.
Yeah, that's good. Kind of counteract that wisdom you see there.
I know.
I'm still stumped.
Well, guys, thank you for coming in. I really appreciate it, and for bringing the whole family.